everybody. This is Franklin.
This is Karen.
And we're podcasting.
Where did podcast come from?
I have no idea.
Podcast. Pod. iPod? That's where it came from, probably.
I don't know.
Maybe.
It could.
Steven Jobs.
Jobs?
Jobs. You know, he was really cute when he was younger. And then he got not so cute.
Started wearing weird blue jeans and that turtleneck.
Yeah, well, that was when I think when he was getting sick. And that whole, I mean, have you seen a picture of Bill Gates lately? He's looking a little haggard.
Bill Gates, you want to talk about someone who's withstanding the test of time.
He is.
No. I'm not talking about Bill Gates.
Like, what do you mean?
Stan Lee.
Marvel Comics.
Marvel Comics. That guy
is still around?
91
years old. Is he still around?
He's still alive.
Oh, my gosh.
He's still making creative content. He's still doing comic books. He's in all the Marvel movies. You know, that guy is... He's
unbelievable.
He's a really, really cool individual.
Do you know much about Stan Lee, the man?
I don't know a lot about him.
I don't know anything.
I know enough to, you know, I read, you know, enough comics when I was a kid, you know.
You know, I wasn't into comics so much. I mean, I remember reading a little bit of Batman, you know, looking at Batman. Mm-hmm. But I was into comic strips. And one of my favorites, Apartment 3G.
Never heard that. I remember the Sunday funnies. Every Sunday, I would wait for my dad to come home. In the morning with the newspaper. He would always go down to the grocery store, get the newspaper, come back.
With donuts and the paper.
Yep, with donuts. We'd go to Mrs. Murphy's Donuts. And every Sunday.
Mrs. Murphy's in what
Jaffrey,
town?
New Hampshire.
How big was that town?
Oh, man. The population, I think, when I was growing up was between 4,000 and 6,000, maybe.
That's all?
Yeah. My middle school and high school was two towns together.
Where is Jaffrey?
Jaffrey is in southern New Hampshire. It's
close to the border
it's close to the border of Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. So and what's the closest large town to Jaffrey?
The closest city?
Yeah.
There's a couple. I mean, Boston is maybe 2 hours. South of Jaffrey, New Hampshire. Jaffrey, New Hampshire is home of Mount Monadnock.
Mount Monadnock.
For those of you who can pronounce that, Mount Monadnock, I don't know if it still is, but at one time it was the most climbed or the second most climbed mountain in the world.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if
it still holds that title anymore.
But I did not know that about Mount Monadnock.
Monadnock.
See, when I think of Jaffrey, New Hampshire, I think of Tom Cruise in War of the Worlds. I think of a little town where Tim Robbins is holding up that rifle going, "Come here!" After, you know, they tried to get on the boat, and that was the ferry, and that went down. And now... In a town like Jaffrey, New Hampshire.
Jaffrey.
They're down in that in the potato cellar, you know, listening to that droning of the... That movie scared the shit out of me. I've seen it now about 20...
Movie.
It was. I've seen it about 20 times. And that part where they're in that basement there, mm-hmm. and those...
The tentacle things?
Those tentacle... Not my blood! Not my blood! I wanted to slap... I'm glad Tom Cruise killed him because he was really bugging me. Those pod giant weird freakazoid things, they're going to hear you, man. And they're going to come and get you. And what happened? They did.
Yeah.
Down they come. You know, I mean, I totally got into that movie, man. I was like, this was the best War of the Worlds ever.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
I still can watch that first part. The first part of that movie where that thing...
The part that gets me, that makes it all the more believable, is the part where him and his kids are trying to drive away in the Jeep, and there's people like smashing through the windows. One guy's got a gun or something.
Yes.
Like, yes. You can see that happen. Like,
I could see that happen. You could see, and you wonder as you walk out, okay, which one of my neighbors is going to be that? That movie was, you know, those monsters. I sometimes sit in my backyard, and I'm sitting there, and there's these like tall palm trees in my neighbor's yard, and I think, you know, what if that was one of those pods? Yeah, that noise, man. What would you do? You could not hide from one of those. You couldn't hide. And they're going to zap you, and you're just clothes coming down out of the sky. Oh, man, that was...
Speaking of clothes, why does Henry wear a T-shirt with a number 4 on it? Why does he have khaki pants? Why does he wear Chuck... Chuck Taylor's, because I wanted him to have those Chuck Taylors. You know, why does he have the wire? He's got those big glasses.
Because, you know, I had to wear glasses when I was a kid, and I hated mine. They were cat's eye ugly glasses.
What I tried to reference to give him that kind of look, those glasses to me,
they're like the ones I'm wearing right now.
They're like the ones you're wearing right now. But they're also, they remind me of the glasses from A Christmas Story with Ralphie.
And they weren't supposed to. They weren't supposed to. Yeah. But those were the kind of glasses that, you know, sturdy glasses. Sturdy glasses for people that had really bad astigmatism, nearsightedness, which I do. Because you have to have really thick lenses.
Right. We had to show a little bit of vulnerability in the character. So we gave him...
The broken glasses,
and he's got the little.
They don't have a lot of money.
Bandage on both sides.
Yeah,
and then the T-shirt, the sports kind of jersey, like kind of like a baseball jersey T-shirt with the stripes on the side and the number 4.
Why the number 4? Because I don't even know that.
The number 4.
This is new, folks. Right now
is on his shirt for a couple of different reasons, but primarily. Because I was born on April 4th, 1984. So I was born on
He's an Aries, folks.
So I wanted to incorporate a little bit of myself into that. So I put the 04. And the khaki pants, we wanted to give him something kind of, you know, not... basic, but we didn't want to give him blue jeans.
No.
You know, they didn't really read.
Because, you know, you don't see kids wearing blue jeans, do you?
They didn't read into with the character.
Not now.
And with the orange hair, we didn't want to have that blue to mute the character. And then the Chuck Taylors. I just like those shoes.
I wear them now. They're the most comfortable shoes. Those kind of shoes connotate
They're kind of an iconic shoe.
A kind of Stand By Me kind of a kid.
The Sandlot.
Just a kid who's really out and about action. Needs to get into action. What's interesting is, and I didn't think of that when we were coming up with the character, but once the character prototype was done, I looked at it and went, and Franklin knew nothing about this show, but it looked like, you know, for all you, I'm dating myself.
All the old
Buffy and Jody on A Family Affair.
I have no idea.
But just like Jody, the boy, who it kind of. I mean, it was. Remember, and I showed you a picture of the Johnny, the actor.
I think I remember the.
He had little freckly, little red hair. He reminded me of him.
You specifically wanted him to have freckles on his face.
Because I had freckles when I was a kid.
So that's why we
probably gave him freckles. Yeah.
And then I also remember you specifically wanted him to have red hair.
Because I have red hair. Natural red hair? No. Red highlights. But I've always liked red-headed kids. Mm-hmm. They're so cute. They're so smart. They're so, the ones that I've ever encountered, they're so inquisitive. Mm-hmm.
And it's
unusual.
The fact that he has, you know, kind of the reddish-orange hair,
yeah,
it adds another level dimension of differentiality
to the
compared
kid
to other characters.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's just, you know, I always thought that if I ever had kids, I always wanted to have just boys. Because I used to teach swimming lessons to little boys. They were harder to work with than little girls, and much easier. Girls are fearless. Boys tended to be more, interestingly enough, clingy and want your attention more. No, I'm serious.
And boys are the ones that are like just running around, roughhousing.
The boys are roughhousing, but you know, really, they're little saps. They're little just mushkins. Seriously, you know, they all kids really seriously now. I mean, I love kids. I am a kid wrangler, baby whisperer, kid. I love kids, and kids are the essential. Innocent, they are born pure, and it's adults that wreck them up. And this little boy, Henry T. Finch, is the epitome of curiosity, get into action, compassionate, curious, sweet, everything that is great about kids is embodied in Henry T. Finch, and probably a little bit of Franklin Sterling the Third.
Why do you say that?
Because you told me a lot about your childhood, and
when you were writing the book.
Yeah, you did, and so I could see, you know, maybe covertly, your essential little boy was coming out in the character of Henry Finch.
That's interesting.
Just covertly, you know, because I always would picture you as a little boy. Anybody. Me, I mean, me that I remember as a little girl, I was sort of a caretaker.
When I was a little kid, I was a very shy kid.
But I was really shy when I was a kid.
I didn't talk a lot when I was a kid. I kept to myself. That's where how I developed a lot of my drawing abilities was, you know, just being isolated for extended periods of time, just, you know, drawing. And
yeah.
I used to write when I was a kid, you know, myself. I just had fun, you know, making Bugs Bunny stories, and you know, I remember the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote and
like, beep, beep.
That stuff. Yeah,
I'll say son, foghorn leghorn. I remember this. Oh, he's my little killer. I'm bringing back a baby bum. Remember that one?
Was that?
Ooh, he's my little killer. I don't know. Me and my sisters, we always watch those. Oh, and Popeye. Remember Goon Island? Goon Island Popeye. That was my favorite Popeye, was Goon Island. Remember when
Do
you remember that one?
I vaguely remember the cartoon.
It was Popeye, and he was on this island full of weird goons.
Uh-huh.
And they were...
Was it a cartoon?
Yeah. Popeye, yeah. And
well, there was you remember the Robin Williams movie.
I didn't even see that movie. Go figure. I haven't.
Terrible.
I know. Shelley Duvall, she was always kind of weird. No, I didn't see that movie. But I always loved olive oil. Oh, Papa, you're just so. Yeah, I loved her. You're just so wonderful. I loved those cartoons. I loved all the cartoons when I was growing up. We had Mickey Mouse. No, forget Mickey Mouse. Everybody had Mickey Mouse. Mighty Mouse. Mm-hmm. I loved Mighty Mouse. Hercules. We had Speed Racer. We had...
Do you think that any of the characters that you remember as a kid made their way into Henry or any... Into your thought process when you're writing?
I don't think so, but everything that we all do is tainted by covertly
by experiences,
or over by and
whether it's intentional or subconscious.
Okay, one of my most favorite things was these puppets, these marionettes, mm-hmm. the Thunderbirds and Fireball XL5. That's why that when Team America World Police came out, I loved that.
America.
I know, but I loved it, man. South Park, but those I loved.
So these were all really big influences, and
Beanie and Cecil. HR Puff and Stuff. Remember that? HR Puff and Stuff. I know all the theme songs. I mean, I can sing you Hercules. People feel safe when near him. That's me. That's me. Anyway, Felix the Cat. The wonderful, Felix wonderful the cat. Whenever he goes
in. I remember Heathcliff the Cat.
Heathcliff came later with Garfield. Yeah. I wasn't into him then. We were talking about comic strips, and I mentioned Apartment 3G. Mm-hmm. Me and my sisters were all over that like a bad suit, because it was about four bachelorettes living in like a city like New York, and they had a Mr. Papagoras was a teacher or a professor or Professor Papagoras, and he had a big mustache, and it was Luann and. That's the only character I can remember, Ginger maybe, or Luann, and it was about working girls, and we just loved it, and it wasn't, they I read that.
Wait, working girls, like, on the street working girls?
No, back then, working girls were like, and Mad Men were like secretaries, okay. You know, and they worked in an office or something, and I loved that comic strip, and I liked some of the comic, Mad Magazine. Mm-hmm.
Man. I remember Mad. I wasn't really
Spy versus Spy.
When I was a kid. I remember Spy versus Spy.
I liked it, and I liked What Me Worry.
I think another heavy influence into my interest in storytelling and into character developing. I enjoy that process. And when I was a kid, another thing that we used to do, me and my sisters, my family, on Sunday mornings with that. Those donuts, the Sunday morning donuts, and the funny papers, the comic strips, is there used to be this show on PBS called Long Ago and Far Away. And it was the show, it was hosted by James Earl Jones. It would always open with him sitting in front of, he would be in this regal chair with a nightstand next to him and a lamp and a cutout of a window, and there would be the stars kind of as a set background to him, and he would open
a book
he would start talking about a culture from various parts of the world. Oh. And he would talk about the different mythology about this culture, and then it would transition into an animated
I don't remember that.
Maybe a half hour, 45 minute, story. And they used all kinds of different types of animation. They used claymation. They did paper animation. They did, traditional 2D animation. They did 3D animation. They did all kinds of stuff.
So were you just like, I'm going to do that one day?
I think that had a great influence in me, subsequently getting my degree in media arts and animation and going on to do
stuff like that. Well, you could draw. So, I mean, in this day and age, if you could draw, which you can, if you want to work, it's not about making paintings and selling them anymore. You've got to be able to take your skill at drawing, and hopefully you've got some skill, and then learn the software programs and the various techniques and mm-hmm. transform all of that into a career. Because now, you can have a career being a 3D modeler for a judicial system, law firms and the government. And it's huge now.
Currently, my position right now, I'm a contract or freelance artist, 3D artist for, a small studio that creates, themed rides and, different,
Like motifs and scenarios for theme parks? Disney, though, right?
For Disney, for Universal, for DreamWorks, we're working with people in China a lot. They're making
Speaking
lots
of rides, I just posted on Facebook, and I need to go where this ride is. There's two of them. One is the longest alpine slide in the world, and I think it's in Austria. Mm-hmm. And there is I put it on Facebook. It I've ridden an alpine slide, and those are fun as heck. And this thing goes for like 15 minutes down an entire mountain. It's unbelievable. And the other one is the world's tallest water slide in Kansas City, Missouri. I mean, I'm not kidding you. It looks like it's a mile high. Drop.
Yeah.
To where you hit up to, I just read, 85 miles an hour.
Whoa.
Would you ride that?
No.
I would. I would ride that. One time. One time only. I would try that. I mean, if you flopped out of that thing, where the heck
would you be?
You could drill yourself into the ground if you went flopping. It's like, oh my gosh. I digress though on the rides. I love rides. I love roller coasters. Mm-hmm. I love scary rides. Speaking of, this morning I could not sleep. So I made a mistake, and I had my iPhone by the bedside table because I play a lot of Scrabble, and I'm catching up on my games. And I happened onto a video on Facebook of the Felix, I don't know what his, Baumgartner,
but
maybe?
Yeah, the guy who jumped out.
Wow, I just saw the video for the GoPro camera. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Unbelievable, because...
That's unbelievable.
He was in space.
Like, if he had blacked out.
He almost blacked out. And he almost did. Yeah. Did you hear him? He said he felt like he was going to black out. And you could see his heart rate. It was like up to 170. Mm-hmm. And you can't black out. You've got to be present because you've got to stabilize yourself.
It's like only
you can't be flopping. You've got to stay stable to ensure that your trajectory is proper.
Yep.
But when he
your parachute doesn't go flopping all over the place when you release it.
That is the most amazing thing. That guy trained for like three, because I was getting the Red Bull magazine. Mm-hmm. That guy trained for that jump for like 5 years.
Probably, yeah.
Unbelievable. The video of that is, I mean, he's stepping out of the tallest balloon. In space, folks. I mean, you can see the space of space, the darks. And he's stepping out of that thing and jumping.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's amazing. Space is amazing. That's another thing. I love sci-fi and space movies. Prometheus, seen it 20 times. See, Oblivion, I dug that. And the more I see it, the more I dig that one. You know, all of those. Elysium. I love. It was good. Yeah. I love all those movies. Is there anything good coming?
I don't know if there's anything good coming out right now.
I know we need to get back to the Red Beds, but well, this is what podcasts do.
Yeah.
Podcasting is about chatting.
Yeah.
And about chatting about subjects.
I mean, we're talking about the book. This is a good opportunity for people to get to know us as individuals.
Right.
Who are the authors? Who made this?
Did it spark something in you? Mm-hmm. If you're driving home or whatever, listening to it and to remember. But we got to kind of keep it with the Red Bedspread. Are we going to do more? Yeah, we're going to do stuff with Henry T. Finch, I think. Will it be written in rhyme? I don't know. Franklin, I've got other things, ideas I'm not going to say, but I've got several other things that we want to...
Other book ideas.
Book ideas, project ideas that are unusual and I think different. Some that may fit into the publisher's mold where we'll be having podcasts talking about writing query letters to send out to... Mm-hmm. Publishers and literary agents, and just depends on the project. What's important is the creative process. Mm-hmm. That's what really this is about.
And I think this is a good way to get people into our minds, into how we kind of bounce ideas off of each other, how we talk to each other, how we interact
right.
with each other.
Which you're getting
all,
better.
This is all very...
You're getting better.
This is all a part of our creative process, is this back and forth.
Yes,
dialogue.
Yes, because I'm watching him grow up, really, actually. So I'm getting to watch him, how you're evolving. because I'm relatively the same. I'm getting better, but I'm, you know, I'm watching you evolve, which is interesting. And you are. I mean, every day I can see it, which is good. I mean, because, you know, this could be a relationship until...
Who knows?
Who knows? I plan on living to be 105. So I'm about halfway through.
105, okay.
So, you know.
I have no idea how long I'll live.
I was just thinking that, The Green Mile.
The Green
Mile. What a fabulous movie. I love that movie. I loved it. I love movies like that. The Shawshank Redemption, one of my favorites. And that again, you know, speaking on creativity and books and things, Shawshank Redemption is a classic example of how all creative elements come together, which is highly difficult to do in the film world.
And you don't see that a lot.
No.
You don't see those kinds of movies, those
soundtracks,
books, those script, soundtracks,
acting,
those
cinematography.
Albums. You don't see those one-offs anymore. You know what I mean? Like Seven was a great movie by itself. Didn't have a sequel, didn't have a prequel. It just is.
And you know what needs a sequel? The Iron Giant.
You think that one needs
a sequel? See, I love that. I just watched it again. I have a copy of it. On VHS, and I have to have it put onto disc.
Do you know who did the voice for the giant himself?
Vin Diesel.
Right.
Riddick.
Can you believe
Pitch
that?
Black.
All,
I love those
ago,
movies.
That was a long time ago, right?
It was maybe 2000.
So, yeah, it was
around. Or maybe, you know. But here's what's interesting. Pete Townsend from The Who was one of the producers. Brad Bird was the writer, and it was actually an original screenplay based on a book. I can't remember the author's name. But the artwork was really good. The voiceovers were tremendous. The story was great. It kept to you really had a feel of the 1950s. And, you know, Brad Bird went on to do The Incredibles and other films.
He did one of the Mission Impossible, the latest Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol.
Yeah. And so he, you know, that was one of his first big...
He did a lot of...
He's brilliant, really.
And I think he started, don't quote me on this, but I think that he started writing or directing on The Simpsons.
He could have. He definitely could. Film Roman was...
I'm pretty sure that he went to CalArts. One of the teachers that I had, she was his teacher also.
Is that Mar?
Yeah, Marjan. Her last name or anything. You know what?
She's a very good art teacher.
One of the best art teachers I've ever had.
Especially
for
drawing human forms.
Yeah.
Just perfect.
Marjan.
And just cool as heck. I mean, she's just a pistol.
She really propelled me to where I am today. She helped give me that finite technical eye.
Execute
what I want to execute. Get better anatomy. You know, when you look at Henry T. Finch, he's there's a lot about him it's a human form.
Evokes character.
Right.
You know, evokes the attributes of what you're looking for. And so she helped you in your formative years take your drawing skill.
As you can see, people, I'm not that great at articulating my thoughts. So
no, you are good. You are good. Well, that's what you got to, you know, that's where you bounce it off the other person. You know, another good, speaking of animated movies, the what's the French animation? The Illusionist and the Triplets of Belleville.
Oh, the Triplets.
That animation. It's real different, real very artistic, but really, 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 really good.
It's kind of a little bit like the Miyazaki stuff. The Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah.
Kind of, but there's a different kind of style to it. But the animation is very similar. Fluid.
Miyazaki isn't he up for an Academy Award?
He could be.
With a film, and I can't remember the name of it. I'll think of it, but I think there's a film up for best animated series as far as animation goes. Mm-hmm. I think that's brilliant animation. Is that and Iron Giant is excellent. Mm-hmm. And I mean, all the movies out now. You know what? One I really liked was the two that I really liked lately that I just saw. The Guardians movie about the Christmas, the holidays. You know, I really liked that movie. And the one about the owls.
I didn't see that one.
Oh my God, it's fantastic. What was it called? It was The Guardians or The Guardians. And it's about the owls and it's
like, is George Lopez in that? Or is there someone?
I'm not sure, but it, you know what? The animation is so, so excellent. Mm-hmm. Really excellent.
And that's 3D animation.
Yeah. And just really good.
Really cool.
Speaking of movies, I mean, even Jack the Giant Slayer was not a bad movie.
It was okay.
They've been showing it on HBO.
Didn't get very good reviews or a lot of press or anything like that.
It wasn't a bad movie.
It was a Bryan Singer movie. He's kind of a hit or miss person, you know.
Battleship.
The Usual Suspects was a great movie. Oh, X2 was a great movie.
Incredible, The Usual Suspects. I like Battleship, and I heard it didn't.
Dude.
I liked it.
I didn't even bother seeing that.
No, you know what? I dig it, man. I've seen it about 6 times. The more I see it, the more I like it.
I mean, come on. Like, how do you make a movie out of a board game called Battleship?
You need to see it.
Where you
set
little pegs.
You need to see it because it's the aliens are
like
really
aliens?
Cool.
Yeah,
man. And no, and the weapons of mass destruction that they came up with. The ship, awesome. The weird aliens, awesome. You know, it was good.
Okay.
I liked it.
All right.
Not as good as District 9.
District 9 was good. Yeah.
No. And there's a sequel coming out for that movie. So we do need to come back to Henry. Maybe we could do a book of Henry watching all our favorite movies.
All of our favorite movies.
So we can.
I don't know what he'll
product tie-in, product placement.
He could go anywhere. You know, the character can do all kinds of stuff. You know,
that's right. Do we ever have Henry getting older and growing it?
He could. I mean, you don't know. I don't know. Look at The Simpsons. They often do those flash forward into the future.
Oh, that could be. There you go. Because you know what? Cartoon characters. Look at Mickey Mouse is still the same age.
You know, Bart Simpson's been 9 years old for almost 30 years.
That's right. You could do a whole movie about all these cartoon characters mm-hmm. stuck. In whatever time frame they're in.
But to tie all this back into the red bedspread,
yes.
I think we were able to create a story that it has the potential to be translated into a feature or into a series.
It could be. Just with the character Henry T. Finch.
Right.
You know, that would be interesting to develop that. And what would be interesting and what would be, you'd have to make sure that you weren't basing it on anything that's been done before. And that's the difficult part of creativity is that you've got to take everything that, like we've been sitting here talking about what we like, you've got to take everything about everything that you've liked and then try and come up with
an innovative
interesting
way.
Spin.
Right.
Something new
how to
and
tell
not
that
copy
story.
Anything.
Right.
Because that's, you know, any artistry is all the stuff that an artist, say such as a George Gershwin would say, mm-hmm. has taken in. Maybe he was really interested in Rachmaninoff or Debussy or whatever. You know, and so he has to take all of that and come up with some unique. To me, George Gershwin, monster genius talent. Because his stuff still withstands, and it always will, because it is simply genius. Genius. Porgy and Bess is genius. Mm-hmm. The story, the music, it ain't necessarily so. Brilliant. The melody, the lyrics. Someone to Watch Over Me mm-hmm. will never not be exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
Is to capture the universal spirit, the feeling that everyone identifies with.
We have to wrap this up. So, Karen, do you want to say anything before we go?
I just want to say that I am, today is Super Bowl Sunday, and I am starving. I'm going to go make some turkey, some of Karen's turkey chili.
All right, Karen's going to go make some chili.
And what are you going to do?
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll figure something out.
But this has been tremendous. This is really fun. Well, more podcasts to come.
We'll be right back. Well, not right back, but we'll be back.
Soon. Ciao, Bella.